Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters of Christ, when people think of Jesus, they want to think of the nice Jesus, who is kind to everyone, who is loving, forgiving, healing, compassionate. The one, just such a nice guy. They don't want to think of the Jesus who threw a temple tantrum and overturned tables and cracked whips at people. I get the phrase temple tantrum. And one Sunday when I preached on this subject, one of the young men who was just starting college said to me, would that be a... because I called it a temper tantrum. He said, wouldn't it be a temple tantrum? So that's why I say temple tantrum. So Jesus, he threw this temple tantrum. Does that surprise you? Does it make you think, oh, why would he do that? Why would Jesus get angry like that? Well, why shouldn't he get angry? He had every emotion that we have. Do any of you ever get angry? Are you nice and calm all the time? Especially when you're watching sporting events. Yeah, and you might have someone playing in the game, and the ref might make a bad call or what you think is a bad call. Even if you're watching it on TV, you might get mad and yell at the umpire or the player or the manager or whoever. When I first married Sally, her and Austin got to where they didn't want to watch ball games with me because I wasn't always so nice and calm. I've learned to be nicer and calmer watching games. Yes. So we all can get angry. Jesus could become angry. Jesus, he wept. He was hungry. He slept. He got tired. He got thirsty. He went through all the emotions that we do. So why is he throwing this tantrum, though? It doesn't make sense. He never, in public... people could see him. Usually if you throw a tantrum, you want it to be at home. You don't want to have to go and see these people and go, oh, they saw me. But he does this in public. He wanted everyone to know what they were doing was not right. He wanted to disrupt them from what they were doing, from their sinning, from their making their father's house a den of thieves. Because when they were changing the money, they weren't being very fair about it, probably. They were probably, oh, this is worth $10. I'll give you $5 for it. Something like that. They were making it a robber's nest. And he did not like that because they were making his father's house, the temple, into a spectacle. So he needed to disrupt what they were doing. And what's the best way to disrupt something than to make a big whole deal about it? Turning over tables, cracking a whip, letting the people know that what they were doing was wrong. Now, I talked to Adler about when's a good time to disrupt something. And he says, if you see somebody doing wrong, the Bible also tells us if we see someone do wrong, talk to them gently by yourself. Don't make a big scene about it. Okay, Adler? All right. Be gentle, compassionate, and kind to what they are doing. And if they don't stop, then you really let them know. at what they're doing is wrong. But remember, Jesus was doing this out of love for those who he was doing it against. He was stopping them from what they were doing wrong. He was stopping them from sinning. And he was giving it an example for us and for those who witnessed it that God did not like it when we sin. He does not like it when we sin. That he wants to disrupt us from our sinning, from our doing wrong. And he will do anything in his power to disrupt us from our sins. What would he do? How can he disrupt us from our sins? He can make us feel guilty about it, give us a guilty conscience. God is the one who gives us a guilty conscience. When we do something and it's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Is God telling us we shouldn't have done that? Sally had to go babysit the kids last night. That's why she's not here today. And when she left, I was like, oh, boy, I got the whole night. I could do whatever I want. Except God's watching me. God's with me. So I better be careful. Even before I did anything, he was saying, no, I'm going to disrupt anything you're thinking about right now. Yeah, so I didn't eat an extra candy bar or Klondike bar. I was good. I didn't take her favorite dessert. I was good because God was saying, don't do it. I'm going to disrupt you from doing this. So, and that's one way. Give us a guilty conscience. He might put obstacles in our way. Maybe I was on my way to the freezer and my chair was in my way and I tripped and fell. That did not happen, but it could have happened. He could have put an obstacle in my way. But thankfully, he didn't have to resort to that. He stopped me already with the guilty conscience part. How can he disrupt our sinning? How can he get us to turn around and not look at the way the world would say, you can behave this way, it's okay, and turn around and look toward God and say, God, please help me, disrupt me from any evil thought. We're able to do so because of how Jesus disrupted our sin. He disrupted our sin by, you think it's strange that he threw the temple tantrum? You know what's even stranger? That he who was without sin would take our sins upon himself and become sin for us and go and suffer the way he suffered, and then go up on the cross and die because you and I are sinners. And that's how he could disrupt the hold that sin had over us. That's how he disrupted the hold Satan had over us. That's how he disrupted what the world holds over us, by taking our sins upon our cross himself. What do you mean your God suffered and died for your sins? Why would a God ever do that? They're just idols. Well, not our God. Our God is living. And he did this because he cares so much about us, that he loves us so much that he would disrupt everything and take our sins upon himself and suffer and die for our sins. Yes, strange but true. Strange but true that God would do that. Inflict the pain, the sufferings, the harm to us upon himself out of his great love for us. And what's even more strange to people is that after he died, destroy this temple, he was talking about his body, and on 3 days I will raise it up. And on the third day he rose from the grave, giving us, he disrupted death by doing so. He disrupted death. And when a Christian dies, though he or she dies, yet he or she lives forever. And we all, death has been disrupted for all of us. Because he rose, we will rise when he returns to take all believers to spend eternity with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, there will be no more disruptions because there will be no need for them. Jesus will not be angry. He will be loving and compassionate forever because we won't be sinners. So everything will be beautiful. And we look forward to the day when there are no disruptions. In the name of Jesus, amen.